Let's turn to Ephesians. Letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I think this is just the verses for the moment. However, let us look to the Lord once again. Dear Lord, we thank you so much because it is by your grace that we may be here once again, sitting at your feet, listening to your word, expecting some important word from your mouth. So Lord, we really thank you so much because it is our privilege we may be here. So tonight, while we are gathered together, reveal yourself even more to us. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you more. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The verses we have just read are very important one because Paul advises us, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The reason we ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now this is the interpretation of the Holy Spirit to what happened today. Today, if we have to redeem the time because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In another word, because the days are evil, so when we live in such days, and we ought to understand what the will of the Lord is. In another word, the word of the Lord will be revealed through our circumstances, through the current events that just happened. And actually our Lord tried to teach us something. Now, we have to remember this passage actually just follow the verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And the reason sometimes we walk as fools, not as wise. Very simple. The reason very simple, because we are the ones who fall into sleep. So the Lord said, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And that's how we are able to know the way of the Lord. Now this morning, this evening, I would like to use this opportunity to share with you, especially young ones in the Lord, about the current events and the biblical prophecy. Or let us try to explain what happened recently in the Middle East, and we try to view it, try to see it from a prophetic point of view. From the Word of God. So we want to especially focus on the problem of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. And as you know that the situation become very serious, and now even United States had to get involved. Even in the beginning, the new government did not want to get involved too deeply, but it's almost impossible. because since last year, September 11th, now I think we all of a sudden we received the wake-up call. And we discovered the whole world is no longer the same. Not only New York is no longer the same, United States is no longer the same, even the whole world is no longer the same. So today we see something from a complete new point of view. Sometimes we think today we live in the United States, especially when you live in this part of the United States. So if anything happened, definitely something will happen either in New York or Los Angeles, but most likely it won't happen in Kansas City. Because you see, the terrorists, or they try to do something that will shock the whole world. But now we begin to realize that actually what happened today in the Middle East really has something to do with us, you know, because there's some kind of something are correlated. As you remember very well, Bin Laden was not happy with the United States, not because United States they still have almost 7,000 troops, 7,000 soldiers in Saudi Arabia, and to some Islamic people, you know, this is almost like a blaspheme to them, because they believe that their land is land of Mecca and also Medina. And so when they discover those people who do not believe what they believe, so they think these people, the presence of these people, simply just pollute the Holy Land. So for the person like Bin Laden, or some people even more, you know, they have very, they belong to Islamic fundamentalist. So they definitely very radical toward United States. But then, as you know very well, Bin Laden expressed himself clearly. He was not happy with the United States, not because in the presence of U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, and especially they all know that it was actually it was United States who really supports Israel. And today, especially during this conflict, and everybody will know that Israel has been supplied with the weapons, most advanced weapon actually delivered from this country. So we can understand the reason why the whole world become so tense, and because some people, they are really extremely not satisfied with what happened today. So now we can understand there's some kind of correlation between these two. Now why they are so against the West, and United States being the leader in the West, in the West, and Islamic world in general, they are not happy. Somehow they are frustrated, and to the point that they even want to kill themselves to show to the world that dissatisfaction. So for that reason, now we know that if you want really to ease the tense situation in the Middle East, then at least we should understand what happened today. Who are these Palestinians, and why they have such a conflict? Why they cannot live together in peace as a good neighbor? But somehow we know that what happened in the Middle East, especially in last 1 month, 2 months, that conflict has been going on almost 2 years, and we believe that because of what happened in the Middle East, that's why we have the September 11th. Somehow this all correlated. So I think tonight we would like just from the viewpoint of the Bible, try to explain what happened in the Middle East, and we will find out if any solution is it possible, is there any possible solution, and why these things happen. You know, because these things happen definitely will show us the days are evil. But formerly we knew that they are evil, but we don't believe it. We ought to experience something like September 11 for us to realize that the days are evil. Now today, those suicide bomber or homicide bombers happen on the street of Jerusalem. That's why we still don't feel that deeply. Now, of course, we have the first-hand experience as Americans, you know, since September 11. At least you know that how the terrorists, they can reach their sword just to the soil of the United States. Even Afghanistan, actually far from the United States. But somehow, definitely you know that many people, at least some group of people in this world, they are not satisfied. They are extremely frustrated. Out of frustration, then they can become very unreasonable. Anything could happen. And they even try to justify what they are doing. So many questions, I think, can be asked. But tonight, I think we only concentrate on one thing, one point. We will talk about this problem of Palestinians. Now, who are they? And what are they doing there? Why they have such a conflict? And 2 years ago, actually, they had a wonderful, they had a round table sitting together. They want to solve some problem. Then why they never reach the peaceful resolution? Why today they still in conflict? So I think only the Bible can give us some kind of answer. So we have to find out now who are these Palestinians. So first we have to go to the Bible. And Bible, you do have this word Palestine. But unfortunately it's not in all translations. It's only in the translation of King James Version. Okay, so let us try to go to several places. That's where you have this English word Palestine and or Palestinian. Okay, and of course today when we talk about Palestine, mainly we talk about the whole the land of Israel or land of Canaan. But actually that's not what the Bible says. Now in the Bible you have this word, okay? Then we will find out what is the meaning of this word. And actually Bible uses it in a very careful way, very strict way. And then we try to first go back to the Bible and then we'll come back to the current events and see what happened today. So first I think we have to read some portion of the Bible, Book of Joel. Old Testament, yes, Book of Joel. Chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 4, indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Now today, many English translations, many versions, okay, they translate as a Philistia. So somehow you can understand the connection between Palestine and Philistia. Now, if you translate Philistia, nothing wrong with it, because it speaks of the land of Philistines. Now, in the Old Testament, you do find the Philistines, for example, like Samson, how Samson faced the Philistines, how Abraham faced the Philistines, how Isaac was facing Philistine, and how David, remember how he fought with Goliath, and well, everybody know that Goliath actually was famous Philistine, and also we know that finally Esau, the king, King Saul, has been killed by the Philistines. So remember, when Bible talk about Palestine or Palestine, now actually it is always connected with the land of Philistine, because that word only happened 8 times in the whole Bible, in the Old Testament. It always referred to the land of Philistines. But Bible itself, when Bible used that word, finally, actually, Bible gave the definition about what kind of land it is. Okay? So Philistines actually in the Bible did not refer to one kind of people, actually refer to several people. Now, because in that piece of land, there is a piece of land in the Bible called Palestine or Philistia. Now, if you know the history, going through the history, actually you find that, and some people came in the very earliest period, then was driven out by some other people. And then, again, a new immigrants were coming. So, Bible talk about Palestine or talk about Philistines, actually, he did not refer to a special race, no, like Canaan, people of Canaan. We know that these people are Phoenicians. We know that, okay? So they occupy the land of Canaan. Arabs, we know that where they come from. But Philistines in the Bible, very interesting. Now that word, Philistines, has been used almost, if I remember correctly, it's about between 270 and 280 times. So again, Bible used that word. After people of Israel enter into the land of Canaan, then you discover they not only encounter the enemy from us without, also the enemy from within. They live just side by side with the Philistines. So then they become the thorns under their arms. You see, so very interesting why Bible mentioned Philistine more than 270 times, because these are very important people. These are ancient people. They used to live side by side with the people of Israel. They live in stagnant area of that part of the land. But then when Bible Philistines, remember, we thought they belonged to just one kind of people. No, that's not true. And in the very early time, you will find that the Bible even can describe to us who are these people. Okay? For example, let us turn to Deuteronomy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Shemini, okay? Chapter 2. Now here you find something very interesting. Deuteronomy. Chapter 2. Verse 18. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read it for you. And this day you are to cross over at Ar, the Boat boundary of Moab. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given to the descendants of Lot as a possession. Now, Moses spoke to the people of Israel. Actually, it was God who speak to the people of Israel through Moses. And then they talk about what happened to the land of Ammon. And verse 20, that was all regarded as the land of giants. Giants formerly dwell there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzammi. Okay, a people as great and numerous and tall as Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwell in their place. So, now very interesting. Now here you have the land of Ammon. But in the early time, actually, this was the land of giants. And you find this certain kind of giants, they really lived there in that area. Now, today archaeology will prove that. Actually, from the tomb, they discover their bones are different from our bones. You see, it can prove that these people must be giants. So just in that area. Now, Ammon, actually today, Jordan, and especially, if you go to the capital of Jordan, especially you fly to Jordan, and now, when you landed in Jordan, now, the area near the near the airport is just the land of Ammon. So once upon a time, there were giants who lived in that place. But then something very interesting. Holy Spirit tried to say something more. Look, verse 22, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. So God has given land of Edom to Esau, descendants of Esau. But before that, there were some people, Horites, who lived there. So you see, very interesting. And then they dispossessed them and dwell in their place even to this day. And then verse 23. And the Evin, remember, A-V-I-N, then the Evin who dwell in village. The Evin, I think in Chinese, translated as Yahweh, Dong Ya the Ya, Bo Wei the Wei. Okay. Who dwell in the village as far as Gaza. Now the Gaza is the same Gaza Strip as we know today. So just in that area, the plain along the seashore of the Great Sea of the Mediterranean Sea. So you see, as far as Gaza, the Katorim, who came from Kator, destroy them and dwell in their place. So now very interesting. First, who live in that land of Philistine? Actually, when you talk about the land of Philistine in the Bible, narrowly speaking, it refers to the Gaza Strip. It refers to that shoreland along the seashore. All the way from Gaza Strip to Tel Aviv, in that area. It's along the seashore. That's why it's all plain area. So that area is called the land of Philistine in the Bible. But then, when Holy Spirit tried to explain Palestine, in Hebrew, now the Bible talk about Palestine. Now Palestine actually means Philistia. It means the land of Philistine. But then, there is something interesting. Why Bible uses the word Palestine? There's reason, because the word Palestine, very interesting, will tell us roughly where these people come from. Okay? So I think this is very interesting. We have to remember that in the earliest time, most likely, in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At that time, now, when Bible talk of Philistines, and most likely it means the Avi, Yahweh. A-V-I-N. Okay? But who knows? Probably, we really cannot decide that. Most likely from this description, probably even before Abraham. You know, in that part of the world, you'll find it was the Avim who lived there. But then some people migrated from other parts. They enter into the land of Canaan. And they destroy them. They occupy that land. So then these people, actually, from here, the Kaphtorim, in Chinese, is Japhetorim. So now you can understand, for a period of time, you have Avim, Yahweh. Then you have the Kaphtorim, you have Japhetorim. But remember, they all belong to Philistine. Because in the Bible, when you talk about Philistine, it may come from different origins. Different origins. Okay? However, Bible always refer to them as the Philistines. So I think this is very important. Philistine means those people who live in the land of Palestine. So in the Bible, actually, the definition was very narrow one. Did not refer to the whole Holy Land as later as how the Bible scholar used that word. Actually, that's the mistake. In the Bible, it always refer to that part of the land in the Canaan. And so these people actually they live side by side with what? With people of Israel. And God has given them that land. But somehow they did not drive the Philistines away. No. Philistines actually live side by side with them. And from time to time, they become the thorn under their arms. Now, it was very, very clear. So that conflict did not start from today. No. It started from the very beginning. The moment Abraham, Isaac, entered into the land of Canaan. And then you discover that's what they encounter. And then you discover they always have a conflict between the Hebrews and also between the Philistines. Now, who are the Hebrews? So that's why you remember, very interesting, you know. Later when Joseph was in the land of Egypt, when he recalled what happened in the land of Canaan, and then he talked about Abraham, Isaac, and also Jacob, how they live in the land of Hebrews. So now you can understand, in the land of Canaan, you have the land of Hebrew, and you also have the land of Philistines. So now, if Philistine became the enemy of Israelites, now this is the enemy from within. This is not enemy from without. Now that's very important. For today, when we fight a spiritual warfare, you have to remember, sometimes we have enemy from within and also enemy from without. For example, the world is enemy from without. But our flesh, our self, that's enemy from within. So I think this is very, very important. In the Bible, why 280 times mentioned about this word Philistines? This simply would remind us the enemy of Israel from within. Always bother them. Always become the thorn under their arms. They have never had one moment of peace. If you read read very carefully. But then when Bible used the word Philistine, it did not refer to the Avim, not only. Also refer to the Kaphtorim, for sure. But then, when you come almost 1,200 before Christ, then here came another group of people, and those people actually they came from, you remember when you reach Asia Minor. Now between Asia Minor and Greece. And that, you will find the water, actually that water, the body of water, that really belongs to the Mediterranean Sea. But that part of water is called Aegean Sea. So at that time, I think 1200 before Christ. So right before David, the time of David. And then there were some people, a group of people from that area, all the way migrated to what? To southern part of land of Canaan. And exactly Palestine. That means in that part, that part of that part of the land. So then that's exactly what David has encountered. But if you talk about history, actually there were already three group of people in that land, one after another. In the early time, the Avim, okay, that may be even before Abraham. But then Abraham and Isaac, when they encountered these Philistines, actually they were, and they most likely they encountered Kaphtorim, most likely. And then, according to archaeology, and 1200 before Christ, that means before David's time, and you find another group of people, somehow they migrate to that part of the world, they have driven away these people away, you know, then replaced people, all these people from that area. So now you can understand, you can never, when you talk about Philistine, you can never say they are Arabs, or they are this or that, because that's not what the Bible used. What the Bible used that term, it refers to that land. Then, when you talk about Philistines, means that from time to time, different kind of people will occupy that land. And these people, they occupy that land called Palestine. You know, so in Greek, translated as Palestina. So that's why we have an English Palestine. But then you remember, in the Bible, 8 times used word Palestine or Philistia, it simply refer to that part of the shoreland, 海岸那一部分的地区. And that area is called Palestine or Palestina. I think in order to give you a correct understanding, let's use the Greek translation, Palestina. So that word, Palestina, actually is the Greek translation of what we have just read in what? In Book of Joel, you see. And now we go back to Book of Joel again, you see. Let's try to understand it a little bit more. Joel chapter 3. Verse 4. Now how do we know that Palestina referred to the shoreland? How do we know? Because Bible itself will define it. So I think we have to be very careful, you know, when we use this word. Now, I think the best definition about the Palestina is given by Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? Now, Tyre and Sidon, part of Lebanon today. Now, we know that. Okay. And then, all the coast of Philistia, or Palestina. So, very interesting. Everybody know that Tyre and Sidon were on the coast. Even today, they are still on the coast. But that actually is the part of Lebanon. So now, south of Lebanon, definitely you talk about land of Canaan. But then when Bible talk about Palestine, he especially made strictly, he refer to the coast area, coastal area. You see that? So all the coast of Palestine. So that's how Bible defined Palestine. And then, according to the Bible, anyone who occupied in that land, remember, the Bible all called them the Palestinians. Before Abraham, we know that they were called the Avim, right? Then another group of people, and Kaphtorim. And then later, another people from Aegean Sea, from that area, you know, after they conquered Hittites and many others, so they really come to that area. So that's why David encountered Goliath. Remember, most likely they are not the same Philistines as Abraham has encountered. But the important thing is this. Bible used that common term, used that common term to tell the enemy within. You know, from time to time you find that that part of the world always belongs to the enemy. People of Israel try very hard to conquer the impossible, never conquer that part. So that's why, from time to time, this conflict is age-old conflict. It's not today. No, not at all. But what today we have, but the principle is always the same. Always, always the same. You see? Now, for the people of Israel, if you talk about enemy from without, it always talk about Edomites. Or Moabites, okay, or people from Syria, Aram, or from Assyria, or from even beyond the river of Euphrates, like Babylon, or like even Persia. So that's the enemy from without. But when you come to the land of Canaan, and who actually were sitting side by side with people of Israel? Philistines. So Philistines, strictly speaking, is a general term in the Bible to speak of from time to time in a different area, different period, you will find a different people. Either it's the Avim or the Captorium, no matter what, you see. And you find the Bible also refer them to Philistines. So if we understand that, then we are able to understand who are Palestinians today. Again, in that area, in the Gaza Strip area, and you find that today, at least you find some people who are not Israelites. And even today you can see the conflict between these two groups of people. So remember, actually, this is an age-long conflict. Even today, it's still going on. Then, our question is this. Before the Lord's return, what will happen with them? Now, first, we have to know their past. Then, we'll understand what happened today. And then, we can, judge from the Word of God, what will be their future. And what will be the future of the Middle East. So then when you compare your Bible prophecy with the current events, then definitely we will learn a lot. We will understand the will of God. Important things we have to know. When we redeem the time, because the days are evil, so we ought to be wise that we should know. Now, what happened recently, you know, especially in this current event, we should know what is the will of the Lord is. Is there any will of the Lord connected with the current events? Now that we ought to learn. We ought to get something from the Bible. But before we go on, I think I would like to give you a little history about this term, why people later use that word Palestine or Palestina, refer to the whole land of Canaan, or it just to replace the promised land. Okay, now a Bible scholar, they also did the same thing. I think there was some reason for it, but let me try to explain that first, then we will go on a little bit, further. Now you know very well, according to Bible prophecy, especially Zephaniah, now there you have a prophecy about the Philistines. Now one day the Philistines will be subdued by the Israelites. And then, you remember, then you remember that prophecy was wonderfully fulfilled before Christ was born. So if you get a map in the time of our Lord Jesus, then you don't find the land of Philistine anymore. Because by that time, Philistine has been subdued by the Israelites. So that means, actually, no more land of Israel. So you find that the people of Israel really take over the whole piece of land. And then they call that whole land the Judea. And then you have Samaria. You see? And these people came back from Babylon. They were no longer belong to the whole tribe of the whole 12 tribes, no. Because the 10 tribe has been lost. So among the 10 tribes, only the tribe of Judah and the Benjamin, they came back to the land. Remember, they came back to the land. And because of that, now then they call that land Judea, because actually only those two tribes, they came back. So thank the Lord, before the Lord's return, and you know, before the Lord's first coming, and then you find, especially in the time of Maccabee, you know, I think some of you know the some Jewish history, you know that. Actually for a period, very short period of time, and the Jewish people, they were independent at that time. And just by that time, and you discover the prophecy in Zephaniah has been fulfilled, was wonderfully fulfilled. Okay, and if you have time, you can go home and try to read that part of the Bible. Very interesting. So now if you check with the map at the end of your Bible, and you really check the map, and especially you want to know the map in the time of the Lord Jesus, and then you don't find the land of Philistine anymore, because in early time you always find the land of Philistine. Because at that time, Philistine had been subdued. So you have a Judea, you have Samaria. So at that time, people, those who came back to the land, they called that land Judea and Samaria. Okay? Now I think it's very, very clear. They refer to the promised land that God has given to them. Actually, God has given to them the land. It's much bigger than that, not just that part. But anyway, remember that in the time of our Lord Jesus, it is called Judea and Samaria. But then you know something happened. I think 70 AD, after Christ. And something happened to Jerusalem. Because, you know, Roman army, they really march on toward that city. And finally, they destroy the city. They burn the whole temple. And from that time on, the nation of Israel disappeared from this earth. Now, and not only that, from that time on, people of Israel being scattered all over to the whole world. Only in 1948, after 18 years of wandering in this wilderness, in this terrible wilderness, and finally, you know, they came back to their homeland. So something very sad with these people. They not only have lost their nation, they also have lost their land. Because that land God promised them must be theirs. But remember, one day they say, crucify him, crucify him. Let the blood be upon us and our descendants. So finally, God really answered their prayer. Not only they have lost their nation, also they have lost their almost identity. They've been scattered to the whole world, and finally they have to hide themselves. And they almost have lost their identity. You almost, after 1800 years of wandering, think about it. Those days are really very difficult days. But then how about their homeland? And since that time, that homeland become a waste. And later, that city of Jerusalem became Roman city, pagan city. Now remember, it's a shame for the holy city to become pagan city. Now, when you have talk about pagan city or Roman city, it always have main street, south and north,
direction. It's always so it becomes a pagan city. More than that, you have a pagan temple in that city. You see, it's a shame that happened to the holy city. And how about the temple site or the Temple Mount? Temple Mount become actually an abundant place. People become a place for the garbage. You know, people try just to dump their garbage in that place. So it has been forgotten, have been just. So remember, for several centuries. And so remember, the hand of God actually was very, very heavy. Not only that, they had lost their nation disappeared from this planet, and also they are being scattered and they are persecuted from one place to another. And in the hand of Nazi, you know what kind of tragedy they had gone through. That really massacre happened to them. So let us remember that story very harsh. That's very tough story. But most important thing is, from that time on, that land become a wasteland. I think you remember when they besieged that city, because they want to conquer that city. So what can you do? And the Roman soldier, they really destroy all the trees of olive. They make those trees of olive, they try to use that to build something that they really can conquer the city. You see, that's what they are doing. Now think about it. Formerly, you have olive trees on the Mount of Olives. Now, at that time, the whole trees are gone. So the environment definitely changed. Ecology definitely has changed. And later, even during the rule of Turks, Ottoman Empire, when they conquer that part of the world, they want to tax people. They want to charge people tax. Anyone who, for example, if in your neighborhood you have many trees, right? So within certain limit, and then they will say, these trees all belong to you. Now, because these trees all belong to you, so this become your property. Because you have property, that's why the government want to tax you, try to charge you property tax. So if you have one tree, you have to pay certain tax. You have 1,000 trees, then you have to pay 1,000 tax. So remember, all those people, just like American, you know, they don't like tax very well. So they try to evade the tax. The best way to do it, they destroy all the trees. So for that reason, think about it. For a period in that land, you don't find any trees because they cut their trees. They don't want to pay the tax. And no wonder you have no former rain and no latter rain. So that land, after so many thousand, you think of over 1,800 years, what do you expect, brothers and sisters? Today, if you visit, now unfortunately today you cannot do that, if you visit that area, when you read your Bible, when you think about Jordan River, probably your mind will remind you of Mississippi, great river. But you will be very disappointed if you cross Jericho. And if your tourist guide will tell you, now be ready, you are going to visit that famous, well-known Jordan River in the Bible. Of course, in your mind is Mississippi River. But then, if you really see that, actually it's very narrow, no longer a river, it's all mud. You know, in Chinese, just go, 根本不是河. So that's really happened today. Then people will say, even this, the land of milk and honey, yes, when God blessed that land, it is land of milk and honey. So they signed a contract, they signed a covenant with God. They said, we want to obey the will of God. Now, if they do that, God will bless them. Now, if they go to the opposite way, when they say, crucify him, away from him, then, brothers and sisters, God has given his only begotten son as a wonderful gift, and they reject. So remember, they violate their own contract. So according to that contract, the woe or the curse will be upon them. So not only the nation will be disappeared, and also remember that land will become waste. And that's what happened today. But today, if you visit Israel, it's different, because now government of Israel, now they really spend lots of money. They really try to change desert into a garden. Now that was really true according to the Bible. That's also in the Bible. So that means after they come back to their own land, there's a different story. So the sad story was this. After they were being captured, they were sent away to being scattered to the whole world. Then their land lie there just waste. Just waste. And then, very interesting, Roman, you know, you remember when people of Israel was under the rule of Babylonian Empire, what they did was this. They know that these people are very difficult to convert. It's very difficult to convert them. So only one way to do is this: just try to send them away to a distant land like Babylon. Then they will forget about their religion. They think by this way they will convert these people. But actually they were not successful at all. So when they enter the rule of Roman, the same thing. People, Roman Empire tried to deal with them. So the first, they changed their capital, no more holy city, it's a pagan city, Roman city. And then they give another name, Latin. Even today I don't know how to pronounce it. You know, that is a very unusual name, very difficult to pronounce. Then from that time on, that name, Jerusalem, also disappeared from this world for many, many years, only in people's memory. But if you visit that place, all you know is a Latin name given to this new city. But more than that, that holy land, the promised land God has given to a descendants of Abraham, is no longer called Judea and Samaria. No longer. That's biblical name. But from that time on, now you discover among the Roman writers, instead of Judea and Samaria, now you have a word, Palestina. Palestina. Now the word Palestina now try to replace Judea and Samaria. For one purpose, that one day in your memory, no longer Jerusalem, no longer nation of Israel, and no longer the land. So the word Palestina to replace Judea and Samaria is simply to try to wipe away from the memory of the world. So from that time on, people only know what? Only know Palestina. That's all. So no one, then they gradually, Roman writers, they use Palestina to represent Judea and Samaria. Now strictly speaking, Judea, Samaria is not the Palestina mentioned in the Bible. Bible only talk about that Gaza Strip, that strip near the sea, shoreland. Only that part called the land of Philistines. So read your Bible in early time, you will know that that's exactly what happened. Those who live in that land called Philistines. So remember, that's different. That's only because of history. Okay, so today when we talk about Palestine, we always mention the promised land in the Bible. Actually, Palestine actually equivalent to the biblical land in the Bible. But now, because the world tried to wipe out the memory of the biblical land, what God has done. So instead of Judea and Samaria, now what do you have? You have a Palestine. And because these people of Israel has been scattered all over the whole world, then who will take that place? Of course, some people Arabs, because they were Bedouins, so they occupied that place. So then they, because they, those people live in that Palestina, so they call them Palestinians. So that's today's Palestinians. But something very interesting, brothers and sisters, the principle is still the same. The reason they occupy the whole land, because people of Israel is gone, no longer there. Do you see that? That's why they can't take any place. But strictly speaking, Palestine in the Bible, it always means coast, Sidon, and Tyre, Sidon, this is all in the coast, and shoreland, the coast, Palestine. So it always means that. But anyway, brother and sister, after the after many thousand years of history, you'll find that in that land has been changed. Remember, in the beginning, according to the Bible, very narrow strip. But now, find later, people try to widen it. Okay, refer to the whole thing. But in a sense, it was not mistaken, because people of Israel already been away. But the 1948. Before that, United Nations has a decision, makes a resolution that people of Israel can be given back their land. So finally, they got 51% of that part of the land. So that's the land of Israel. That's land of today's Israel. So 51%. And then the other people, Palestinians, they got 49%. Then 1967, because of 6 days war, then you remember, and the people of Israel, they occupied the West Bank. Okay? Now, the West Bank, normally, strictly speaking, it is Judea and Samaria. Most central part of Judea and Samaria. Very interesting. So formerly it belonged to Jordan, and then not only West Bank, also Gaza Strip, okay, Gaza Strip. So this part, all this, formerly they all belong to Jordan, but then later people of Israel, they conquered the city of Jerusalem, so they gained back the whole city. Originally, Jerusalem was divided and also internationalized. So after 1967, no longer the same. And you discover this holy city, Jerusalem, came back to the bosom of people of Israel. So that happened in 1967. And of course, they took lots of land from Jordan. So that's why they say occupy land. So when you talk about West Bank, why? Because the government of Jordan is in the East Bank of Jordan River. So they call the West Bank, that part of territory called the West Bank. So remember, when you talk about West Bank, because you take the official view of Jordanian from that side, of course, that part belongs to the West Bank. So that's why we have this terminology. Now, 2 years ago, when they want to talk about peace, and finally, I think Israelites, they agreed to return 92% of occupied land, Golan Heights, many others. So then it means you will go back to original 51%, which has been given by the United Nations. But anyway, brothers and sisters, think about it. After 1800 years of wandering, today you still can come back. You still can claim that land. It was a miracle. I don't know how, based on what kind of law, United Nations could do that. But anyway, that happened. So remember, if people of Israel just stick to their 51%, then there's no conflict, then you don't have this conflict about between Palestinian and the Israelites, because anyway, that's a long time ago, that's a resolution from the United Nations. But today you discover their problem is more than the land, and but land is important, you see, and more than that, many other issues. But anyway, this is the history. So in order for us to connect what happened in the Bible and the history, so let me just do a very quick review. Then you know, well, how today people apply that term to that part of the world. But actually in the Bible it's very clear. Now when Bible talk about prophecy, definitely when people of Israel were being captured, you don't have to talk about, because that means you don't talk about the land of the Philistine anymore, because people of Israel have been taken from their own land. So all those people can occupy any part, you see. So only after 1948, when people of Israel came back, then again it is the 51% land against 49% land. So again you discover people of Israel live side by side with some other people. So then you discover what happened in the Bible reappear again. The principle is still there, you see, brothers and sisters. And behind that you have some very important spiritual principle. But remember, if we know Bible carefully, actually what happened today, it just reproduces what happened in the history in the Bible. So actually the reason is very simple, because people of Israel is in their land. Whenever is in the land God has given, they find out with some other people, and people define those people as the Philistines. That's Palestinians. So I think it's very clear. So, but then after that, you find, and not only that, then in the Bible you do have prophecies about Palestinians. We already say some prophecy already been fulfilled. For example, Zephaniah, that already fulfilled in history. But today you discover again, it's different now. But very interesting, you know, somehow Gaza Strip was still preserved. Somehow, not just West Bank and Jordan, somehow you have Gaza Strip. So somehow this is a remote connection with the Philistines in the Bible. And more than that, when we talk about eight, when you study that word, Palestina, eight times in the Bible, it always refers to that land. And in that eight places, you discover this all appear in the poetry in the Bible. For example, Joel, this book is a book of poetry. And also Isaiah, the same thing, Isaiah 14 also talk about Palestina. And book of Joel, and also Psalms, for example, like Psalm 83, Psalm 87, many other Psalms. So very interesting, all these eight words, Palestina, it's always appear in the book of poetry. That's something very unusual. So somehow when the Bible used that term, you have some spiritual meaning connected with it. That's why it's always happened in the poetry book. You see, like Psalms, like Isaiah, like Joel, this is all in the poetry book. And more than surprising is this. Now, especially if you want to know the future of Palestine before the Lord's return, and then you discover, when you talk about prophecy, since Bible know that the people who occupy that land can change from time to time. So that's why you see the prophecy always connects to that land, that part of the land, Palestina. So if you want to know the prophecy of Palestina, if you want to know their future, then very simple, you just go through these eight places. It won't take too long for you to do that study, and then you find that then the prophecy of Philistine, of prophecy of Palestinian, especially at the end day, will be given. So I think this is very, very interesting. I have to let you know. Then when you study the Bible, you definitely will get something out of it. I assume tonight we will
And at 9:30, right? Just like last night. Okay. So I still have half an hour.
Let's come back to the Bible. Now, Palestine or Palestina, this word, in Hebrew, it means migrating. That one is migrating. And the source of that word is from Egypt. That's for sure. That's from Bible scholar could define it. So most likely, these people, originally, they were in Egypt. But finally, they also came out of Egypt. They entered into the land of Canaan before Abraham. Very possible. And then they drive out the Avim. And then they become Philistines, the time of Abraham. So remember, when you talk about Philistine, you have to tell me in which period. You see? So in the time of, so the first encounter between the Hebrews and the Philistines was in the time of what? Abraham, and all, not only Abraham, especially also what? And also, Isaac. And something very interesting. Do you know how many people of you know where, you know, do you know the birthplace of Isaac? Any one of you know? Where was the birthplace of Isaac? Now Isaac was born in Beersheba. Beersheba is Negev. What is Negev? Negev actually is almost, you know, Sahara desert. Now, Sahara Desert is a huge desert, if you know the geography well. But when you come to Negev, Nandi, okay, it's already part, or already you are in the edge of what? Of that great desert. So no wonder when you come to that part, it's a dry land. Nandi, okay. In the Bible, always speak of a dry land. And don't forget who was there. Who was born there? Isaac was born there. Then after Isaac was born, even in the time of his father, he already involved with a conflict between two people. And people of Hebrew and also the people of Philistines. So then that's the first encounter. They live side by side. And because it's in that part of the world, and Philistine also near Beersheba. So it's very dry. So what do they need is the wells. So in the time of Abraham, he has dug some kind of wells. But later, you know, when Isaac, in the time of Isaac, you know, those Philistines, they really buried those wells with dirt. So now you remember the story of Isaac. And Isaac, in his whole life, has dug four wells because of the environment. That's why. But then you discover Philistine came and said, "That's ours." Then again, he dug the second well. And actually, you know the story very well. But that, remember, that's early conflict. And finally, they made a covenant. Actually, they have made a peace agreement. So you have a first peace agreement between Abraham and the Palestinians at that time. And then Isaac and his son, Palestinian. Now, very interesting. But anyway, at that time, you already had that kind of conflict. You see? So, remember, Isaac was born in that environment. And today, the Israelites, they were descendants of Isaac. So very, very interesting. If you study history from that time on, remember, and when Isaac dug one well, then they said, "Oh, that's mine." And then another well. And finally, you know, because Isaac learned some wonderful lesson. So he solved the problem. And finally, you know, these people were very afraid because they thought the Philistine, they saw that the presence of God was with Isaac. So they want peace agreement. Well, with certain kind of peace agreement, then their people will be protected. But strictly speaking, brothers and sisters, in that part of Negev, you find all the cities without wall. That's the feature of that part of the world. So when you are in that area, you are exposed to all kind of danger. No one can protect you. So think about it, brothers and sisters. And when Isaac and the Philistine, when they fought a fight, and you can imagine, eventually, that's, I think Isaac will lose the ground. And finally, you find in who will protect Isaac. But thank the Lord, after he has dug the fourth well, then this Philistine, they discover God was with Isaac. And they were afraid of Isaac. So they said, okay, let's have peace agreement, okay? So I don't want to hurt you, you also don't want to hurt me. So unconsciously, God has built a wall through that peace agreement between Isaac, descendants of Isaac, and descendants of Philistine. So remember, that's how the problem was solved in the early time. At that time, the United States was not there. You know, no involvement at all. But that's what they saw. But brother and sister, there was solution, spiritual outlet there, no doubt about that. But that's the lesson we ought to learn from Isaac. But I think if we go that too deeply, I think it will go too far. But anyway, that's what happened at that time. So now you understand, who are these Philistines? These Philistines, they came from Egypt. And they end up in Canaan. And they took the shortcut. You see? And then later, they will side by side live with the people of Israel. And then people of Israel, almost the same people. They came from Egypt. They also enter into the land. You see? The beginning, the ending are all the same. The only thing different is the process of different. How do you make the distinction between Israelites, who is the descendant of Isaac, and Philistine? How do you make the distinction? Very simple. If you judge by the beginning and ending, they all start from Egypt, they all end up in Canaan. But the process are different. In the people of Israel, they have gone through two bodies of waters. First, Red Sea, then the Jordan River. So here you find that. If you look outwardly speaking, when these two people sit side by side living together, you make no distinction of them. If you only judge the beginning and the ending. But the reality are different. Why? Because later the descendants of Abraham, they have to go through Red Sea and also have to go through the Jordan River. Now, spiritually speaking, it's very meaningful. Today, how do you distinguish us with any other spiritual counterfeit? Now, when you have some spiritual counterfeit live with you, now, brothers and sisters, it's very difficult for you to make a distinction. But who are the descendants of the Hebrews? Very interesting. Those people who have crossed the Red Sea. Now, Red Sea speaks of our baptism. And then you know that the world has been buried in the Red Sea. Egypt has been buried in that sea. So from now on, the world will be left behind. So that's the first crossing. The second crossing, Jordan River. Jordan River means ourselves will be buried in the Jordan River. So now you can see that that's all the working of the cross. So now you understand why Bible talk about Philistines. Very simple. Because Philistine speaks of what? Spiritually. I'm only talking about spiritually. Don't apply to Arafat. Don't do that. Now that's today's time. But spiritually speaking, it represents a spiritual counterfeit. Always take shortcut. Because they just took the shortcut from along the seashore all the way to the land of Canaan. So they don't have to go through detour. They don't have to go through a long way. They don't have to go through the wilderness. So any Christians who want to become instant overcomers, who want to become spiritually by many shortcuts, you see, you don't have to bear the cross. If you do certain things, then you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, but so if you do that, you don't need to go through two waters anymore. You don't need the working of the cross. So remember, brothers and sisters, and the Bible used this to tell us why in the Old Testament you find such a struggling, such a conflict between the two, because actually it speaks of spiritual warfare. So today, if you see anything happen in the Middle East, that's another reminder to every one of us. You see, how we live a life which is not real at all means spiritual counterfeit. Very similar, but we try to get rid of the cross. We don't want the working of the cross. We want something cheap. We want something quick. We want the shortcut. But unfortunately, the life, when life really grows, you will never have shortcut. It takes growing pain for you to go through adolescent period before you can become adult. And some people, you know, are genius. They never go through the crawling. Immediately they know how to walk. So it's genius, right? Just wait. When this person was getting old, then he always had a problem of back. His back always get a back pain. Why? The reason is this. According to God's way, before the walking, you have to learn how to crawl. Because by crawling, your back, that part will be strengthened. Exercise. You see that? If that part, if you become genius, you start to skip that part, then when you're getting old, because you never experienced that, so then you experience some kind of pain. So brothers and sisters, remember, there is no shortcut. If you want that shortcut, yes, then finally you have this kind of problem. So many Christians today have many problems because in when he was young, when he first began to believe in the Lord, they always try to take shortcut. So never grow. Always lots of problems. So I think this is sad. Okay, but remember, that's what happened in the time of Abraham. Now, of course, we have to do it very quickly. Now, in the time of David, Samson, you know very well, Samson, in the time of Samson, I think that time, still, most likely, the same, I'm not sure, because archaeology really gives us some good information, so I'm not too sure. But anyway, Samson, at that time, the main enemy definitely was Philistine, remember? Philistine really controlled them over 40 years. And Samson became the judge. Now what was judge? Judge was definitely was a military man. As a military leader, think about it. Anyway, no matter where you are going, at least you have some weapons with you, right? That's normal condition. But think about it, in the time of Samson, one day Samson, he encountered a lion in a vineyard, right? And then, of course, the lion tried to attack him. But according to the Bible, he did not have weapon in his hand. He just used his bare hands. Finally, he has teared that lion into pieces. So that really revealed to you something. That means when they were under the dominion, when they under the ruling of Philistine, think about it. Philistine, they did such a thorough job. If you study the Bible told us, within the land of Israel, you could not find any smith. 铁匠,你找不到铁匠. Why? Because these people, before Philistine, they know very well. They try to take everything related to irons. They all take it away. Such that the people of Israel has no way to have any revolution. It's impossible. So think about it. So that time, remember, who was the conqueror? Philistines. And the people of Israel have been stripped to such a point, you don't have to look at the people condition, you look at the leader. At least as a military leader, you ought to protect yourself with certain kind of weapon. But he does not have an iron tool. So So that's why Samson did something very strange. Remember, he had to have something strange because he had no normal weapon. Do you see that? And strictly speaking, Samson, according to today's definition, he probably was early as a terrorist. You see the way he did. He really caught the terrorist. He really shot these people. Remember? Tried to deliver them out of the hand of Philistine. So that's why he was an unusual person. Very unusual. So, brother and sister, this will tell you that, you know, when our flesh is in the upper hand, when Philistine really control over us, then you will be stripped over. Nothing at all. So that's what happened in time of Samson. But then the most famous one is in time of David, right? In the time of David. Thank the Lord. Through David, the kingdom was being ushered in. So in the time of David and Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, or the kingdom of God in the Old Testament, reached the height, no doubt about that. And according to the Bible, David was the man according to God's will, even he had many failures. Yes. But no, however, we know the spiritual condition. For example, if you want to know whether the promise of Abraham has been fulfilled, look at it in the read the time of Solomon. And in the time of Solomon, you know that actually the territory is from the river of Egypt all the way to Great River. Remember, that's according to God's promise to Abraham. And so very interesting, think about it. And that time the Bible said the people just like the sand, as many as the sands on the seashore. The Bible mentioned that. So remember, in David and also Solomon, finally the will of God has reached the top. So finally, when David and Solomon was on the throne, and then you know that Philistine was subdued completely. So now you can see Philistine is almost like a mirror to tell us what is the spiritual condition of Israel. When Israel rebelled against God, then you see Philistine always upper level, always upper hand. So today, when Arafat, he has won the war of propaganda, no doubt today, no doubt every whole nation, whole world really sympathize with Palestinians because they think Palestinians just like underdog. People always try to sympathize with the weak. So remember, Arafat, even he was imprisoned, but don't forget, even he was limited in his movement, but don't forget, he really had a wonderful war of propaganda. And what does that mean? That means God is doing something with people of Israel. And my brothers and sisters, one thing you have to remember, today's Israel, 70% of people who go back to their land, they don't believe anything. They do not believe God nor the Bible. Then you have a 30% left. Among the 30% left, only 10% believe the Bible is indeed the Word of God. And they believe the coming of Messiah. They believe the rebuilding of the third temple. The another 20%, they consider this Bible just like today's liberal consider our Bible, the same thing. So remember, strictly speaking, they do not believe that one day Messiah will come. So remember, today's recovery of people of Israel, only political one, never spiritual one. But God, what God was aiming is a spiritual recovery. That one day, the whole house of Israel will be saved at the time of our Lord's return. So when Lord returns, then Holy Spirit will be poured out, just like in the day of Pentecost. Now, brother and sister, remember by that time, there will be a spiritual revival. But let me think. Let us remember. people of Israel came back to their land, not because they already believe in the Lord. No, they're still stubborn. They still don't believe. So remember, God is going to work in that direction. One day, the house of Israel will be saved. But today, remember, any Jewish people, they will go to heaven if they believe in the Lord Jesus. They cannot go to heaven because they are descendants of people of they are descendants of Abraham. No. So today they are saved, just like how we are saved. But of course, because of God's promise and God's covenant with Abraham, God has to keep his promise. So because of that, brothers and sisters, we know that one day the people of Israel will be saved. But their being saved is very different from ours. Because one day when they saw Messiah, his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and finally they were being rescued, then they discover actually that deliverer is the one whom they say, crucify him, crucify him. Then they wept. Then they repent. Then the whole house of Israel will be saved. But only for those people who still exist, still alive at that time, after the after the battle of Armageddon and all this. So these are the leftover, the remnants. They still, and finally, brothers and sisters, when they see the second coming of our Lord, they wept. You see, and then you discover they just like Joseph's brothers. You know, Joseph's brothers sold Joseph to Egypt. They deny him the same thing. They did not. Our Lord came to this world. Now, they are the Jewish people, just like the Joseph's brothers. They deny him. They say crucify him. But at that day, they will recognize each other. So, brothers and sisters, we know that's what happened. That's definitely what happened. So God is working toward that aim. And they refuse. They don't believe in the Lord. So that's why in Persian Gulf War, that actually Persian Gulf War, nothing to do with Israel, right? That's something to do with the Kuwait. Then why it ended up the missile of Saddam Hussein falling in Israel? Again, that's the Lord's doing. When they really had their gas mask on, now you have to remember, at that time they are not sure about their future. They are not sure about their tomorrow. No doubt at that time their knees must be suffered. And probably at that time they remember God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So brothers and sisters, Israel learned a very difficult way. Even today, they refuse the gospel. But don't forget, they have received the revelation from the Old Testament. They should know better. And salvation really came from the Jews, but they reject the gospel. Think about it. And because of that, today the hand of our God was still very heavy with these people. So no wonder, brothers and sisters, today, recently, you see, even in Europe, again, anti-Semitism. Sometimes we say, why? And I still remember one writer, you know, who wrote about massacre and under Hitler. And then when he had an interview with a journalist, he said, after so many years, why they still hate us? Now, brothers and sisters, people of Israel, they have to reflect why today they become so narrow and only United States become their friend. No other friend anymore. Now, remember, God's way is that try to win people to himself. So probably they have to learn many, many different lessons before they really can repent. So remember, this is a very important thing. You know, when you read the Bible history, you know it's very clear. Now something very interesting about David and Goliath. David was only a boy. And people tried to give him, tried to arm him with the arm that he can face with the enemy. Then he couldn't walk because he was too young. So that kind of arm won't fit him. So he only a boy. And in his hand, only 5 stones, that's all. Only 5 stones. And Goliath different. Goliath not only fully armed, it's almost impossible for you to, you see, fully armed, it's all weapon, all fully armed. And also he was a giant. Think about it, he was a giant. And David was only a boy. But a wonderful story happened, right? Because David was the man according to God's heart. And you can imagine, while he was doing the shepherding, he always doing some exercise. So remember, even you want to kill the enemy, you should not do it right away. You need some time. You know, so you have to prepare. And even when he was shepherding, and then the Lord was doing something there, and then he had to learn how to cast a stone. And you know, and also those stones, he knows what kind of stone is the best one. He wants a very smooth one. You know, that means, what does that mean? That means stone, in the beginning, you may have some corner, may have some different shape, but after the flow of waters, gradually become round. So again, take a lot of time to have 5 stones, and take quite a discipline for David to hit the enemy with the stone. So now, remember, when David encountered Philistine was fully armed, giant. There is no hole, it's almost, very small hole for you to kill him. But very interesting, finally, just one of the stones, not 5. David did not use 5 of them, he prepared 5, only used 1. And finally, think about it, that stone really fly into that part. And actually, every part was being covered, but only that part was not covered. And to fall. So that's a wonderful story, how David could conquer Goliath. The enemy was fully armed. So brother and sister, that's the enemy within. The enemy within us always Goliath. So how you're going to fight the battle? You have to be like a shepherd. You have to be like David. I believe that David, when he was a shepherd at that time, he had Psalm 23. Think about it. The one who can write Psalm 23. He was an intimate fellowship with the Lord, and God used him to deal with the enemy. Even Philistine was fully armed. Think about it. And finally, he conquered him. So that's the spiritual warfare, and that's a wonderful story. Isn't that true? So when David, when Solomon was, when people of Israel was in the right condition, that's what happened. But today, everything's just reversed. Today, who are taking the stones? Palestinians. Remember? Those Palestinian boys who take the stone. So sometimes you just worry about these Palestinian boys. These people, they do not just carry some stones from the street, no. Actually, those stones, they were sent to the front line. Most dangerous place. And sometimes you worry, somebody will ask one question. Where were their parents? How come they dare to let their children go to the front and have their bed there? Because Palestinians know that those Western journalists will take the pictures. And then in their hands, you see, all they have is what? All they have is stones. But look at Israel. They were inside a tent. They were well protected, just like Goliath. So big, so huge. And they have a tent, they have what? They also have airplane and also like a helicopter and many things. Think about, everything was accurate.
Now don't forget, those weapons all supply from the United States. So when they were inside the American tank and they fly American helicopter, they use all these things. Think about how do the world will think. Now you can understand why Bin Laden and his people were so angry. Now you can understand. Because today we probably don't feel that. So everybody always sympathized with David. Now who is David? Palestinians are David. Who is Goliath today? Israel. They were Goliath. Who made them so big? Americans. United States. You send $3 billion per year. More than that, actually you send the best weapon, its most advanced weapon. But of course, in the beginning, the purpose is that to protect them. You know, because, you know, the in that part of the world, they tried to destroy Israel. So at least Israel needs some kind of force that can handle the situation. But now, you see, Palestinians, they are very, very clever in this war of propaganda. And it was Arafat who told us. He told us, he said, do you remember, he talked to the journalists, do you remember the story of the Bible and how David against the Goliath. Now we are David and the Goliath, they are Goliath. So think about it. When you have on one hand the American tank, on the other hand when you have the stones, bare hands, now what people think is another picture of David and the Goliath. You see? And definitely people are sympathizing with the weak. And of course the international pressure definitely will be upon Israel. So you can see Israel will have a very, very hard time. Even he probably meant well, everything and so on and so forth. But if you know Bible very well, it's very clear that today the whole situation is just different. And more than that. In the time of Abraham or Isaac, now Abraham and Isaac, remember, they used, and also in the time of Samson, they used to live in what? In a mountain range. So, for example, like Judea and Samaria, actually they were mountain range, central mountain range. There you have Hebron, remember? And one day, Samson, you know, he carried something all the way to Hebron, very high. So remember, these people, people of Israel, they were mountaineers. They used to live in a mountain. They are hilly people. They belong to the hills. And so, then these Israelites, now remember, these Israelites, they are in what? They are in the shoreland. They are in the land, in the plain, which is near the Great Sea. So very interesting. At that time, those Philistines, Israelites, they were hilly people, they were a mountaineer, they belonged to the mountain area. You know, actually they are more advanced, no doubt about that. Look at their weapons, no doubt. So, but that conflict is always between the Judean hill and the plain, land of Philistine. So the battlefield is in that slope. In that slope of the mountain, of the Judean hill, that mountain range. So if you study gospel, if you study the Bible, all the battlefield between the tribe of Judah and also Philistines. Remember, they are in the land of Philistine. They were against some people in the hill. And don't forget, God has given the best place, Hebron, to the tribe of Judah. And later on, the tribe of Judah came back. So brothers, if they came back, they definitely had to come to their homeland. They definitely had to come back to their homeland. So remember, the central part or the core of Judea and Samaria is the Judean hill. There. But something very interesting. After the resolution of the United Nations, they have given 51% to the land to Israel. But very interesting, most of the land is the plain. And so-called West Bank,
today, if people of Israel had returned that land back to Israel, back to them, originally belonged to Jordan, remember? Jordan, but now they will have their own, they will have their own nation built there. But then if they really give back 100%, what does that mean? That means at least that's something very interesting. Now, when some of the people who are, like for example, those people who live in Tel Aviv, they were in the plain, and then they discovered, is one day, nation of if the West Bank really returned to the hand of Arafat, then you see, these people, they live where? They live in the hill. Do you see? Just the opposite. Just opposite. And the Hebron, and Jerusalem, and also Samaria, and also those very important, like Jenin, all those very important places. Now remember, now, in the beginning, it's part of the land of Canaan. It's because people of Israel, actually, they only dwell in that narrow, in that mountain range. So that's why Caleb said, give me that mountain. Do you see that? These people are used to live in that area. That's the land God has given to them. That's their position. They ought to be there. Compared with the people who live in the plain, they are in the high places. But something very interesting. Now, when they came back to their land, they still came back to their land. But the core part of their land is already in the hand of their enemy. Everything is opposite. Everything is opposite. Formerly, they were there, they were down there. But now, if the negotiation will be, if one day there will be a nation Palestinian nation, then you discover the main territory is there. So people of Israel, they came back to their own land, but it was only a virtual land. It's not a real land anymore. The real land should be West Bank, should be that area. So that's why they refused to give back 100%, they only gave back 92%. Now how about 8%? Now, those 8% belong to the settlements in the West Bank. So this is not a problem. That's why it's very difficult for you to come to the final solution. Because they have all different West Bank, and they have all different settlements there, all in high places. You see, you can look around, it's all Palestinian live, but they're always here and there. The reason they have a settlement, they think that because according to the Bible, this land has been given to them. So that's why they refuse to get everything. If they refuse to get everything back, then that really back to that kind of situation. But even think about it, they return 92%. In general, that part still belonged to, originally belonged to them. Now it's given to the Palestinians. And then you have 8% of settlements in there. So yes, you still have some, you still keep some kind of land given by Abraham, given by God to Abraham. Yes, but this only a sign. This only this only show you, yes, you still here there, but actually you don't occupy the same land. So brothers and sisters, by this way you can see even people of Israel come back to their land, but it's very different from the original situation. So the Lord has to work in their midst. And for that reason, you find this conflict will continue. I think our time is gone. I have borrowed you 6 minutes. I won't return to you. But anyway, that's what happened today. So if we know what happened, you know that God still never finished his work with Israel. Still working. But remember, brothers and sisters, if you see what happened today, you can remember, you can learn the spiritual lesson here. We ought to be in heavenly places with Christ. That ought to be our place. But when we suffer the defeat, even sometimes God may do some kind of work of recovery. But you remember, that recovery is until only when the Lord's second coming, it will come to the full recovery. But before that, think about it. That's what happened. That's what happened today. So this is a great lesson to every one of us. Hopefully tonight we will learn some lesson from what happened in
the Middle East. Of course, I did not finish my talk because what happened before the Lord's return, you know, especially after 9/11, we are pretty sure a Palestinian will remain in that area and it will become a very important factor until the very end. And especially according to the book of Joel, there will be nation. That means Palestinian nation will be there, no doubt, before the Lord's return. Why? Because Sidon and Tyre represent another two nations. Because when they gather in the valley of Josaphat, okay, there, God, the Lord will judge them. And that judgment is described in what? In Matthew chapter 25. God will judge all the nations. And Palestine is one of them. So from the word of God, we know that that will remain to the very end. But unfortunately, we don't have the time, so I think that's enough for us tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful time together. Even we are just reviewing your word, but we are so satisfied, we are so happy, because in the Bible we really learn much, many, many lessons. To Israel, today what happened to them is something outwardly, but we know that that's something to us, every Christians, inwardly. We today also have the enemy within us, just like a Philistine. All we try to get some shortcut, all we try to gain something without paying any price. But Lord, we thank you. It is your will that we have to go through two bodies of waters. We have to go through the working of the cross, that we may grow. So Lord, deliver us from the concept of taking shortcut. Lord, we pray that may you always have the upper hand. May we also always be with you in the heavenly places. Lord, let us stand and always stand on these very high places. Thank you, Lord. It is our place. And we pray that you will teach us more and more lessons through what happened recently. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord.